The epistle appointed to be read for today's Mass is taken from that of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, heard of the old leaven, that you may be a new taste as you are unleavened. For Christ our Passover is sacrificed. Therefore, let us feast not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, taking the last according to St. Mark. At that time, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and so bought sweet spices that coming they might anoint Jesus. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they come to the sepulchre, the sun being now risen. But they said one to another, "Who shall roll us back the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And looking, they saw the stone rolled back, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed with a white robe, and they were affrighted. Who said to them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen, he is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him, as he told you." By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted. Therefore, let us feast not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. My dear faithful, the passage from St. Paul, his epistle to the Corinthians, actually harks back to the Old Testament. It harks back to the exodus of the Hebrews from Egypt, and then what God commanded them to do each year in remembrance of that. And so they were to leave in a hurry, and the bread that they would have would not be leavened. So how would they have leavened bread? We would probably call it sourdough. So you have the flour and the various organisms from the air and so on get in it, and they start to multiply. That gives you leaven, and that's what you put in the bread, and as it works through, especially feeds on the sugar and so on, then it produces carbon dioxide, and it makes the bread rise. So we have yeast that we use, but sourdough and leaven is what that is. So in their departure, they didn't have time to rise their bread, and they were commanded that each year there was to be a time in which there would be no leaven. So they were very careful to get that out of their homes. It's called the time of the Azymes, or unleavened bread. And why did God command that? Well, not just to be looking at what kind of bread it is, but rather to remind them of first of all, the sureness of life, and also his goodness in delivering them from the bondage of sin and of Satan. And that would be what would be to come, the bondage of, in the Old Testament, of Egypt, the bondage of sin and Satan in the New Testament. So that's the connection that this is our Pasch, for Christ our Passover, or Pasch. It's the Old Testament, as I mentioned to some of you, in several languages, the word for Easter is Pasch. We say Paschal time, in French it's Pasch, Pasque or Pasqua, in Spanish, in Italian. So that is what St. Paul is referring to in the connection between the Old Testament and the New. For ourselves, though, we have come to the end of Lent, the Holy Week of the Sacred Triduum is 3 days, and unto the glory of Easter. And the Church puts this before us to remind us that if we have been faithful to our Lord in Lent, we got out into the desert with him. That is, we have denied ourselves. We've fasted. We've given up things. We spent extra time in prayer, and we have done good works to our neighbor. If we have done that faithfully for the 40 days, we will have made spiritual progress. Sometimes it's very obvious, other times it's kind of subtle, but there will be that spiritual progress. It's a spiritually intense time. Now that we come to Easter, is the time of like reaping the benefits or harvesting. And yet we have to think, well, how do we do that so that we do not lose the benefit of Lent? I think it was St. Augustine says, we cannot rejoice with Christ if we're going to laugh with the devil. So how do we do it? The mind of the church is that we lighten up, but that we don't completely stop. And so there has been the time, the fasting of Lent, certain external celebrations, for example, marriage. You can get married any day of the year. The nuptial blessing and a lot of the celebration is not allowed in Lent. And why is that? Not because it's evil, but because it's out of place. We're meant to be concentrating on our overcoming our sins. But yet, within Paschal times, like the opening of the wedding season, and that rejoicing. And so the fast has ended, but we should think, well, what is there that I did during Lent that I can continue in some measure? So some examples, and I'm sure there are many different, and each one has its own. If you say, well, Father's talking about what I did, well, that's can be to your benefit. So, for example, someone might have given up sweets during Lent. It's a fairly common thing to do. When we come to Paschal time, well, does it mean that we go gorge ourselves on the goodies? No, but it's proper to have dessert today, almost all three meals, due measure, because these things which are delightful to eat remind us of the delights of heaven. It doesn't mean to become a glutton about it, but to keep that proportion. Another type of fasting may have given up video games and maybe cat videos and that sort of thing during Lent, which is a profitable thing to do. Well, does that mean we turn around and we spend the whole day playing video games and watching cat videos? And no, the answer is no. Now, if we have been falling into sin by watching something that is impure or something that is hateful or something that is dangerous to the faith, well, that's not something that we can do in due proportion. It's sinful. It's got to be stopped. And that's why we cut off some legitimate things in order to stop the sinful ones. But that which is a legitimate pleasure, we can do. So let's say we like cat videos. It's perhaps a silly example, but I think we understand it. And you say, well, is it okay to spend half an hour watching cat videos? Yes. 6 hours? No. That's the new pace. And then with regard to prayer, during Lent, especially during Holy Week, the church has this double up on prayer. We all know a long time in church for Holy Week, but even throughout Lent, there are many, many extra prayers to do, Stations of the Cross and so on. So the time in prayer and the quantity of prayer is greatly increased. That we turn our heart and our mind to God. When we come to Paschal time, though, we have an example from the church. For example, the prayer that we say at noon and so on, the Angelus, is replaced by the Regina Caeli, which is much shorter. Yeah. The priest's divine office for this week is about half as long as it is, especially in Holy Week. And many of the prayers of the Mass are shorter. The Passion last Sunday, fairly short Gospel this Sunday, a shorter and lighter. So as far as how we do our prayers and how we would conform ourselves to that, a really practical recommendation is with regard to our rosary. We should be praying the rosary each day. However, this week in particular, it's extended throughout Paschal time, for the rosary, we often tend to add an extra litany of prayer for this and that and the other intention. Those are of themselves, those are good. And in many cases, they are a history of the spiritual journey of a family or an individual. For now, though, put them aside, just the rosary, and with its concluding prayer and so on. And then, as at our preference for this week, to do the glorious mysteries each day. Later on, we'll get back to the more usual routine, the lighter routine. And the third component, of course, is doing good works for our neighbor, and that really has the opportunity, and the need is there. We should never really back off on that. And we would hope that we have a greater spiritual stamina to help our neighbor. So we have those three main ways of continuing then, regard to self-denial, not completely put it aside, but lighten up on it, the prayers, we should be praying, the Lord said pray always, but pray more with joy, and then the good works to our neighbor as the opportunity in our capacity are there to do that. And that is then to rejoice in feast. St. Paul says to feast. There's a time to fast, a time to feast with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Of course, the love of our risen Savior. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.